Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at this. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The righteousness which is of God is walked in by faith. Now let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at this. Because here's the real nitty-gritty. If you don't know what righteousness is, you're not going to be excited to walk in it. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. What if you asked a 12-year-old, are you excited about your 401k? You mean 401,000 experience points on my video game? No. A 401k. He doesn't know what it is yet. He doesn't have to know what it is yet. He's 12. He's not excited to walk in it. But when you're 64, you might be more excited about walking in your 401k if you have one. If you don't know what righteousness is, why would you want to walk in it? But we know from the New Testament, all through in every book, all of this life of faith is leading up to enjoying maximum enjoyment of our righteousness. The Bible talks about increasing the fruits of our righteousness. And notice, increasing the fruits of it, not increasing the righteousness. If you have righteousness, you're never going to be more righteous than you are right now. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm spoiling the punchline here for the next thing. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, you're never going to have more righteousness than you are right now. You're never going to be more holy than you are right now. But you can enjoy it a whole lot more. That's a good thing. You can enjoy it a whole lot more. Isn't that right? Think about this. If you're a pilot and you know how to fly a Cessna 172, which is a single-engine propeller plane, you can enjoy that. You can enjoy that flight. You can enjoy flying around. However, what if you, with some extra training, you could enjoy flying a twin-engine jet? You could get to where you want to go a whole lot quicker. Think about it. You got to go start up the propeller and contact and hit the button and check the mixture. Or you can go out and do your free flight checks and then get in a twin-engine, what's that one? A Dassault Falcon 9 and fly there at 8/10 of the speed of sound. Whoo! That's going to make that, as you fly by, the little Cessna lawnmower, shake in the air as you fly by. What just happened? Who passed us? That was a Falcon. Well, think about it. What about enjoying your righteousness more? Everybody with me on that? He said we enjoy it by faith, which means that we're going to enjoy our righteousness by taking confidence from God and putting it in His Word and putting it in Him. He's going to say things to us and we're going to get more confident about it. And he said that's how we're going to enjoy being the righteousness of God. So as a review, let's just look here real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ... When you are born again, you are cut into Christ in full blood covenant. You're joined to Him, He's joined to you. He's in you, you're in Him. His Spirit's in you and your Spirit's joined to His. It's a covenant relationship. He's a new creation, something that's never existed before. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Listen, you're free from your past, and by past I also mean 2 minutes ago. You screwed up this morning, it's over, gone. God's cleansed it and cut it out of your life. Now be corrected in it. Don't do it again. Let the Lord show you how to avoid that. But then also, hey, you're free from it. That's not holding anything over your head. All the way up to the worst past and background and criminal record of any kind, you're free from it. And think about who's writing this to the church. The church's former number one enemy. He said, I'm free from my past. I only live in Him. What if the head leader of ISIS got born again? It could happen. There's Muslims all over the Middle East and Far East being appeared to by Jesus daily. There's imams getting born again. There's hardened zealots being born again. I told you that one testimony of the man who was at Mecca, at the Hajj, the big large, the black square with the curtain over it that the Muslims walk around, part of their pilgrimage. They sleep on the, it's open air and it's warm at night. They can sleep outside near it. He said one night, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, and you're mine. And he said, Jesus touched him and put his hand on his chest. And he woke up the next morning and he said that all of the hair where he had touched was burnt white. Big old handprint. He said he still had it. He opened this shirt up. Now he's gray now, but you can still see the handprint. It's whiter than his gray. Listen, the Lord's doing wonderful things that we may never, ever hear about till we're on the other side. But all your past is gone. You're free from it. So what if one of the most hardened zealots of Islam got born again? I've met one. He was out in Tulsa when I was in Bible school. He was a former, just a hardened zealot. He was part of he was Iranian and part of their regime until he got born again. And now he's a on fire for God preacher. But what if that guy came and just said, and started talking to you about being free from his past and you're free from your past. Well, he's carrying a little bit of extra gravitas. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of extra oomph in those words. We say, well, if anybody would know about being free from a past, it'd be him. Paul was no different. When he was Saul, he was a terrorist. Killing, putting into prison. He had one mission in mind, and that was to kill the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's saying, you're free from your past. And he said, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciled meaning you have two former friends who are now enemies because one of them has broken covenant with the other. And now by that covenant, he has to be an enemy and be treated like an enemy. He deserves nothing else but to be treated like an enemy. But that friend who had the covenant broken against him, he pays his former friend's price and sheds blood for him. Also, he can go grab his former friend and say, we're best friends again. Come on, you saw Tombstone. Remember when Doc Holliday put his guns on the table and said, now we can be friends again. It's okay, we can be friends again now. Well, God took all his wrath and poured it out on Jesus so he could grab you and say, we're best friends again. It's okay, I paid for it. Come on close. Come on. Come on. Give me a hug. Bring it in, partner. Bring it in. Let's hug it out. Let me just hug you. Well, that's what you do for your best friend. That's what you do for someone you are absolutely devoted to with a zealous blood covenant love. Just because we sinned against God, it didn't turn off his love. He can't help but be love. He is love. He is on fire with love. He can't help but love. He was searching for a way to love us from before the foundations of the world. Isn't that good news? All right, so let's look at this then. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Meaning he's now given us the ministry of going and telling people that God just wants to be best friends with you. He's made you his best friend in blood, and he's looking to just let you, hallelujah. He wants you just to accept it so he can be good to you. He said, and he goes on to say, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling, gathering the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, has committed us the word of reconciliation. And now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Well, he already said that we were. So why is he telling us now to be reconciled to God? This sounds like a decision. What is he telling us here? God's already decided to be best friends with you. Now in this verse, he's saying, you decide to be best friends with him. Lord, I accept your friendship, and now I decide I'm your best friend. God has said for all eternity, as far as he's concerned, you're his very best friend. That's what righteousness is. It's a status of covenant friendship. Well, now it's up to us to decide, yes, sir, I accept your friendship. And not only that, I'm now your best friend. It's a two-way street. Hallelujah. Man, listen, he wants to enjoy a better friendship with you than you ever thought possible with any human being. And he wants to enjoy it with you. Well, that's what we want to talk about today. We've talked about this status many on many occasions, And that's why we're reviewing it. But now we want to talk more about how to enjoy it more. How do we do that? Do we just know that it's there and kind of wear it like a badge on our sleeve? Or can we really enjoy it and get into it even more every day and have something, enjoy the benefits of it? Because he said there's fruits of righteousness, which fruits means I can go out and pluck it off and eat it and enjoy it. I don't want a fruit tree I can't go get fruit from. That's what Jesus had a problem with. Oh, look at that nice fig tree. I'm going to get me some snacks. And there was no fruit. And what did he do with it? He didn't want anything to do with it. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. So what's the point of having a fruit tree if you can't get no fruit? Listen, I can tell you what. If Shannon and I somehow imported a guava tree from Kona, Hawaii, and planted it in our yard, and did everything we were supposed to do, and spring came, we're going to have some fresh guava juice. And no guavas showed up. We're going to be mildly put out. We want to go enjoy it. I want you to be able, and God, thank you, Lord, God is burning with zealous desire for you to enjoy your friendship, blood covenant status with Him every day of your life. And we just learned from the book of Philippians that we enjoy that status, the righteousness which is of God, by faith. Now, let me read you one more scripture. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We've been made this status, and it will never turn off, and it'll never be taken from us. You have it permanently. You ever reconnected with an old friend, and you picked up right where you left off? When someone calls me I haven't talked to in a couple years, which happens, this is my first thing when I see their name on my phone. Where have you been? Just treat them like they haven't been there, been gone that long. Where you been? What's going on? God has made us His very best friend. Isn't that good news? Say this with me, just so you can begin to drill it into your heart. God has made me His very best friend. I decide He is my very best friend. Now, let's go back to that book of Philippians. You don't have to turn there. Just make a note of it in your notes. I want to just read something to you real quick. He said that I may be found in Him. I'm going to read this to you in the New Living Translation here. All right. Look at this. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Boy, that's good. For His sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as but garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my righteousness through obeying the law. Now notice, I no longer count on my own righteousness, my trying to prove my friendship to Him. We can't talk about faith and righteousness working without talking about works and righteousness. Does that make sense to everybody? He said, I can no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. Man, isn't that good? notice this. There's two ways we can try. There's two ways of effort we can expend in righteousness. Works, effort, pushing, struggle, strain. Do we still do that as Christians? We do a lot more than we realize. We do it by thinking like, I got to pray more. Why do you need to pray more? Listen, if you're not excited to pray more because it's spending time with your best friend and you feel like you need to pray more as though you need to prove something to Him or demonstrate your devotion to Him, you're never going to enjoy it that way. It's always going to burn you out. If you feel like you have to do it, it's going to burn you out. You know what you don't get burned out doing? Stuff you want to do. I've never seen somebody go, man, I'm just fishing too much. It's burning me out catching all these smallmouth bass and this trout. I've never seen one angler, serious fisherman, ever complain about their fishing too much. What are they doing? They're figuring out ways to fish more. Isn't that right? They're figuring out ways to fish more. Guys I know who shoot a lot, they're not going, man, I'm just burned out on all this shooting mess. No, they're figuring out new ways to get better and get better with their skill sets because they enjoy it and they like it. Spending more time doing what you love. Well, what if you can decide, like, listen, I'm spending time with my best friend. That sounds like the best thing I could ever do. You're doing that because you're excited about it, and the reason you're excited about it is because you're resting in it. You're not trying to get it. You know you've already got it. Does that make sense to everybody? Oh, good to go. Okay, so now, God showed us his friendship to us when we were his legal enemies. Let's establish that fact. Let's go to the book of Romans real quick. You got to see this. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. God showed us his love and friendship to us when we were his legal enemies. He didn't just tell us about it. He showed it to us. And listen, integrity must be shown so it can be known. You have to give someone a reason to trust you. And just giving someone your word when your word's not known to them is irrelevant. They don't know it. But when God demonstrates it and shows it, how did he show it to Abraham? Well, he proved it through the 12th and 13th chapters and 14th chapters when God helps him slaughter kings and get out of Pharaoh's grasp and not get messed with while he's making his journeys and travels. But then God goes ahead and takes it to a whole nother level and walks in blood. And from that point forward, when he swears his loyalty and every word he says to Abraham in blood, saying, by walking in this blood, this is permanent, and if I break anything I've said to you, I self-destruct and die. Abraham no longer has a question. He never once again says, what will you give me seeing? Like, what, do I get a handshake? Do I get a contract? He never again asks it, because God's now bound to him in blood. God voluntarily bound himself to Abraham in blood. So that removes all doubt and question from Abraham's mind. Well, yeah. He didn't have to spend 40 years with Abraham establishing a track record. He just had to do one act that demonstrated, now get this, one act that demonstrated his loyalty, his commitment, his desire to keep his word, and how trustworthy he is. We have something even better now. It's the blood of Jesus. It's not just a figure of speech. God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That one act shows us this: you can count on me. When you couldn't count on anyone, I took care of this for you. Just by believing it, you're now my best friend again. And so everything else from now on will be just by believing it. God established a precedent with us. The same way we get into covenant with him is the same way we enjoy covenant with him. Everybody write that down. The same way we get in is the same way we enjoy it. We heard the message. It made us confident. We believed it. We declared it as so. We declared that Jesus is Lord of our life. And we were in. We were made a new creation. In the same way, now when God says to you, old things are passed away and all things have become new, I can really set aside all of my shameful past in one decision. You absolutely can. Just based on he said it. So I can just take your word over all these feelings and memories and trigger thoughts and you know, abuse and anything else, abusing, anything I've been done wrong or had done wrong done to me. I can leave it behind. Just by a decision of saying, because he said it, I can do it. Because he said it, I decide I believe it. Man, isn't that good? So he says here, verse 8, But God commendeth his love toward us, and that means demonstrates, shows, reveals, puts on display his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now made righteous, declared his best friends by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Look at that. This is how we got in. Now even much more. Think about it. By the same means, trusting what he said, we're now going to enjoy salvation in every other area. Let's put this down in our notes. Jesus, and don't let this be too simple when I say it, gave his life for us. A real man allowed his blood to run out of his body and his life to expire for you and me. We know it's Jesus. We've heard the story. I think we've gotten a little bit cold to it. Let's warm it up a little bit. A real man somewhere in time, in history, thought of you and me and willingly allowed his life to be given for us. It just so happened that it was the Son of God. But he was still a man in a man's body. Man, that's heroism right there. It'd be one thing to die for one person, take their place, but they still got to die. And if they don't make any decisions differently, they're still going to go to hell. They just got more time. That's still heroic. But one man died for everyone. That is the finest moment of heroism this world will ever know. And that's not where his suffering ended. Then he went to hell and took our eternal judgment. He took the natural death we deserved, and then he took the spiritual death we deserved. He took both of them. I've heard people fight small wars about, did Jesus die spiritually? You better hope he did, because if he didn't, we're gonna. He had to take our place completely in the curse, in physical death, poverty, sickness, shame, and disease, and then go to hell and be punished as a sinner. Whew. The Bible talks about the judgment came crashing down on his head in the pit like waves of the sea. He had to go to the deepest pit and get all the judgment. And it said, while he was taking that, he was praising God that he wasn't going to be left there. Man, my hero. I thought about this. Like you think about your flesh getting a little taxed, having to continue on in faith, standing in faith for something, like believing for your harvest to come in. If Jesus can take that, I can take a couple more days of just standing in faith and praising him in my air-conditioned house. You know what I mean? If he can take hell, I can wait patiently. You know what I mean? All right. So think about it. Let that sink in. Jesus gave his life for us. John 15:13, write this down. This is crucial, but we're just going to quote it. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Let that sink in for a second. Think about what we're talking about. Being best friends with God by faith. Being best friends with God by faith. Faith is how we enjoy being best friends with God. I'm going to say it simply, and then I'm going to explain it. Faith is how you be best friends with him. I thought I already was. You are, but you can enjoy being something. You can be something, and we were just watching a movie about some people fighting over an inheritance. It was a comedy, but it was kind of funny. You can be rich by birth and live like a pauper. You're not being what you're born or what you're made. So in the righteousness of God, we be his best friends by believing him, by trusting him, by faith. Faith meaning by strategically, decisively, by a decision, putting our faith in him. And that's how we be best friends with him. That's how we enjoy every day being friends with him. Now look at this. Let Jesus establish this record with you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He looked throughout the future to come and through history past and decided with his death and laying his life down that you were his friend. You don't have to be proving yourself that in order to earn his friendship. He's already given you and declared you his friend. We got it from this verse. He's already laid his life down. God showed his love by Jesus' death, And Jesus showed us his friendship by his death. He looked through history and said, you, yes, you. No, not the person behind you. You are my friend. And I'm laying my life down for you. Isn't that good news? Man, praise God. Let that sink in. Jesus has decided that you are his friend. Already, you don't got to earn it. Now, if you think this thought, you're not wrong. Well, then why am I doing all this other crazy stuff to try to earn some kind of attaboy from him? Now, any works we do are works of love and works of faith. Lord, I want to serve you. How can I be a blessing to you? After what you've done for me and been to me, how can I be a blessing to you? Then it's joy. Man, if my friends were constantly trying to strive and earn something from me, that'd get on my nerves. Like, what in my integrity hasn't already shown you that I've already decided you're my friend? You don't got to earn it. Let's just enjoy it. No. I just need to do this for you. I need to show you that I'm your friend. Listen, either you don't believe me or you've got issues. People struggle with the Christian life because they don't know where they already stand with him. They're not confident in it. You're already here. You're already in. Look at your hand. You already got the ring of his friendship on. Look at your clothes. You've already got the robe of righteousness. You're dressed as his very best friend. Everybody walking through the holy courts of heaven sees your garb and attire and knows, there goes God's very best friend. But what if the words out of that person's mouth are, I'm so unworthy. I just need to do this. I need to pray more. Dude, pray more. Enjoy it. It's like if you were at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and someone said, I just need to eat more filet mignon, then order it. Eat it. Enjoy it. It's not something to sweat and stew over and lament and a tale of woe and think like, oh, I just wish I could eat more today. I just need to eat more. Just order some and eat it and enjoy it. But you're already here in the restaurant. Does that make sense to everybody? Did I lose you on the steak? Oh, red meat. I don't hear a word he just said. Now think about it. You're already in. You're already in the club. You're already in best friendship with him. He's already accepted you in the beloved, according to Ephesians chapter 1. You're already in. Now let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it by faith. Let's enjoy it. Now listen, let's enjoy it. Got it, sir. Let's enjoy it the way he says to enjoy it. Let's go over to Romans chapter 10. That's where I got to check to go next. Just to back this up. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'm going to read this to you. I just got a witness to read this to you in the New Living. It'll help a lot more. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart, my prayer to God, is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know, now look at this, I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. Do we have any misdirected zeal in the church? People telling people who've been divorced that they're going to hell. Misdirected zeal, it's hurtful, it's harmful. No one's benefited by it. But it's still passionate. Let's direct it proper. Think about Paul's zeal. No one could deny that he was zealous. He even says, now according to zeal, persecuting the church. Meaning, I killed y'all. That's how zealous I was. But it wasn't according to knowledge. So he says, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, now get this part, they cling to their own way of getting right by God by trying to keep the law. Well, we wouldn't do that as Christians. More than you think. We cling to, you can't do this and you can't do that. Why not? God will get you and it'll make him upset. And listen, there's certain things you don't do. I don't lie because I'm afraid God's going to get mad. I don't lie because I want to walk with him. He don't like it. Then I don't like it. Settled. We dealt with that years ago. And anything comes out of my mouth that isn't true, Lord, that wasn't, that, no, I repent, excuse me. It's not a, I'm going to lose my friendship with him. No, I'm doing it because I am best friends with him. He is my best friend. I want to enjoy it. If it means coming between us or, you know, causing some kind of issue to arise, then it's a no-brainer. That gets dealt with. I'm sticking with him. Does that make sense to everybody? Then it's a joy and not a burden. We never do anything in the Christian life to earn anything. What's left to earn? It's all been given to us. There's nothing left to pay for. There's literally nothing else out there. I was listening to a minister say he was crying out to God for more power. And the Lord spoke to him and said, son, where would I get it? I've filled you with my spirit. Can you see God kind of looking around and there's empty shelves? Like, I gave you everything. You've already got it all. You don't need more than what you got. That raised Jesus from the dead. What really more do you need than that? So think about this. You've already got God's right hand of fellowship, his best friend spot, and Jesus' own personal relationship with him. There's nothing else to gain. But there's only stuff to enjoy. Get that. There's nothing left to gain. There's only stuff left to enjoy. And he goes on to say this. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Look at that. That just says it perfectly. All who believe in him are made right with God. All right. Now, when we were his enemies, now get this. Jesus said, a man hath no greater love than to lay down his life for his friend. When we were his enemies, he was a best friend to us. A good friend would pay for it, help you. A best friend gives his life for you. Gives his life for you. When we were his enemies, he was a best friend to us. Now, he will continue to be one. He's looking for opportunities to continue to be a best friend to us as we trust what he says. It's not contingent, like I won't be a best friend to you unless you trust what I say. It's not a challenge, it's I'm wanting to be a best friend with you. Trust what I say. We just read about it in Romans chapter 10. We've been wanting to find another way to have his, like we thought crying out to God for it, fasting for it. What if you found out that all that time you spent in fasting, it was good, it helped you, but it didn't move God one bit? He was just as ready to bless you and supply all your need when you started the fast as you were when you ended the fast. Oh, God, I know after this 30 days of fasting, we'll have all of our needs supplied. But he's thinking to himself, I already promised that, didn't I? Jesus, I promised that, right? Yes, sir, you did. Look, right here, Philippians 4:19. Okay, because they're acting like I haven't supplied all their need. He's still burning up with desire on day one as he was on day 30 of that fast. So he's saying in Romans 10 and in John chapter 15, I get to be a best friend to you as you believe what I say. Think about that. Let that sink in. I get to be all the friend I want to be to you when you act like what I say is true. Think about that. Oh, God, I see it in Philippians 4:19. You supply all my need. Or how about this? Just believe in this. Believing that you're redeemed from the power of darkness. No more depression in your life. Oh, God, get rid of this depression out of my life. I already did. Just believe that I did it. Can you see the difference? One, you just go on and enjoy it immediately. The other, you've got to go through vague years of maybe you get a payoff and maybe you don't. I'm just trying to prove to him that I'm worthy of it. And listen, you didn't do that to earn salvation. You won't do this to get any other of the other promises in your inheritance. When he says, I've delivered you from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son, we can go ahead and decide we believe that right now with no feeling, and God will move heaven and earth to make that scripture a reality in our life. He will move heaven and earth to make his promises a reality in our life just by deciding to act like it's true. Just by deciding to act like it's true. You mean I'm well supplied now? According to this scripture, you are. Well, then I am. I've heard Dr. Hagin tell this story so many times that it keeps coming back to me. He was in another part of the state of Texas. His wife overnighted him a letter. So they were in dire financial straits. Both kids were sick, and she was up all night with him and was just worn out, worn completely out. And he took his Bible and that letter over, and he was going to go, he said he was going to go pray through on it. And he said he was out there for a couple hours, and all he got was a dry throat. He said, man, I just didn't really make a good go of it. I'm not going to be one to give up. I'm going to go at it again. So he went after it again. He went out there, and after about an hour, he said he just kind of ran out of gas, and he heard the Lord say to him, what are you doing out here? He said, what am I doing out here? You know exactly what I'm doing out here. I'm out here trying to pray through. And the Lord asked him two more times, what are you doing out here? And finally, the last time, the Lord said this. After Brother Hagin said, pray through, he said, what does that mean? And Dr. Hagin said, he said, you can hang around people in groups and get caught up in their works and in their phrases. And I like what one writer said, wordology, and get kind of lost in it. You forget what it means while you're doing it. Listen, I can say something that I know what I mean when I say it and do it, and it's life to me. If someone else tried to repeat what I said without the context or the understanding, then they're just going through the motions. That's why we don't use borrowed prayers. Like, Son of David, have mercy on me. Remember, Jesus kept walking. Son of David, have mercy on me. And what did that lady say? Lord, help me. And finally he said, I don't have anything to do with lost sheep of the house of Israel. But notice, he started speaking to her when she dropped the borrowed phrases and started speaking to him from her heart. Got real with him. Well, he got real with her. Amen. Isn't that good? And she, think about this. She went home with what she wanted. Boy, that's good news. So, you and I, God is able to be a best friend to us. Our Lord Jesus is able to be a best friend to us just by trusting what he says. Let's look at this some more. John 15:14. Let's go back to that. John 15:14. John 15:14 in the King James says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, that sounds kind of a stout thing. You mean I'm just your friend if I just follow your every order? In this case, yeah. In this case, yeah. The New Living says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now, that would sound kind of harsh if we didn't understand blood covenant and blood covenant friendship. The word do here in the King James, I'm not going to make you get lost in Greek translations. It's the same word when Jesus says, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. It's the same word. It means to act on it. If you act on what I say and command, you are being a best friend to me. If you'll take the words that I say and act like they're true, you are being my friend. Think about how serious this is. This isn't some, you know, internet BFF hashtag, we meet for coffee once a month and talk bad about each other behind each other's back. I'm dying for you, you live for me. This is serious friendship, but it's the most rewarding friendship of all. He said, if you'll just take what I say and act on it, you're being a friend to me, just like I'm being a friend to you. Think about that. Let that sink in. Let's hear it again. If you'll act on what I say, you're being a friend to me, just like I've been a friend to you. Because think about it. If we're going to do this by faith, we act like what he says is true. And I say, well then, Lord, that means that right now, all my need is supplied and handled. Well, guess what he does? He then acts on what you and I say. He's the high priest of our profession. The words out of our mouth require supernatural backup. So when our best friend says, you are being a best friend to me, when you just act on what I say and act like it's true. Well, then guess what he does? He acts on what we say. Master, you mean that by the stripes you took on your back, that my whole body was healed and is healed right now? Exactly. Well, then it is. Can you see Jesus? Okay. Now hear this. Throughout heaven and earth, he says, then he said, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Bind on earth, be bound in heaven. He's declared he's healed. I declare he's healed. You now have heavenly backup. Jesus is backing up personally everything you say. You're being a best friend to him. Can you see that? Is that getting through to everybody? You can be a best friend to him by trusting him. That's what he has set it up. Notice he never said fasting and prayer for 40 days. Listen, fasting and prayer is wonderful. It changes you and me. It helps our spirit come to the forefront and our flesh and our mind be put in its right position. But he's still just as much willing to be your best friend now as he will be 30 days from now. Do y'all get that? When I act on his word and I act like it's true, I'm being a best friend to him. The Bible says in the book of Peter, both books actually, but specifically one of them, that our faith is more precious than gold and will be praised at the end of time. Think about what that means. Those acts of being best friends to God are going to be recounted and extolled. That's the best word I could use. Anytime his friends have acted like friends to him, he's going to point it out, he's going to roll the tape, and he's going to celebrate it. Look what my best friend did. He was loyal to me. He takes it personally. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? If one of your friends acted on your integrity and was loyal to you, does that mean something to you? Well, we're wired that way. We're wired like him. We're made in his image. Oh, it means a lot to him. Now you understand why faith pleases him. Without acting on his word and treating him like a best friend, it's impossible to what? Please him. Because this is the way he has set it up that we be best friends with him. Every time we act on the word, we are acting like a best friend to him. When I say acting like, I mean we're being one. But when I say we're being a best friend to him, it would think like, well, I thought I already was. You are. You're being who you already are. You're taking your place. You're exercising your rights. Does that make sense to everybody? You're being a best friend. That way there's no age limit on this. You don't have to be some wizened 40-year saint to walk in this. I know some wizened 40-year saints who are pretty proud and stuck up on themselves. You can begin to operate in this today. You can operate in this in the next 60 seconds. You can find something in his blood covenant that you really need in your life. And when you see the fact that you is, you are, you have, he has, he did, and you act like it's true, you mean I'm delivered from the power of darkness? Well, then I'm done with depression. I'm not depressed another day in my life. I don't care what feelings and symptoms show up. I'm never depressed another day in my life because I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I'm delivered from the power of depression. And you begin to declare that, even in spite of the symptoms. And you begin to declare that you're free from depression because he said so. You're being a best friend to him. And then he's able to be a best friend to you. He's able to cause all that power in that promise to come to pass and make that depression just turn to ash. Man, you think Thanos' snap was powerful. He only killed half. Jesus will wipe out all depression from your life. He'll wipe out all sickness and disease out of your life. He'll wipe out all, how about this, all the effect and long-term lingering memories of your past. Just wipe it out. Hallelujah. I told Shannon that even after walking in blood covenant for a year or two, I think we even said this and after about 8 or 9 months, I really couldn't remember much of any of the negativity of the previous 4 or 5 years. And now, several years later, going on 8 years in July, the time's flown by. And I really don't remember hardly any of the negativity. I just remember a lot of the good parts. But that's the power of his power working in your life. That's the power of him being a best friend to you. He'll make you have days of heaven on earth. One translation says of the old in the Old Testament, one scripture says, he'll make you to forget. He'll restore your soul, and he'll make you to forget all your poverty. Well, how about the poverty in your emotions? We get to be a best friend to him, but it allows him to be a best friend to us. Well, let's wrap this up. What about enjoying fellowship with him? Because this is where we as Christians are really hungry to get down to. Prayer and fellowship, being with him, enjoying his presence. Well, now you can go by something other than feelings. I don't feel like he's there when I pray. But the Bible says that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when you pray in the Spirit, you speak mysteries. And notice this, you speak unto him. We know from 1 Peter chapter 2 that according to the Scriptures, that he, God's eyes are upon us and his ears are open to our prayers. So if we act on that and act like that's true, then our enjoyment of, I'm going to use this word, best friend time, goes through the roof. I don't have to go by feelings anymore. Lord, I already know you're here. So I just act like you're here. Because you are here. According to your word, I don't have to see it or feel it. I just know you are. So, how you doing? I'm glad to have you here. I believe I received this time with you. I'm going to pray, and I know you hear me. And according to what Jesus said in John 10, I hear your voice too. I hear my master's voice. Hallelujah. And I'm led by the Spirit. And you and I are made very best friends. According to 1 John chapter 1, he said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And I have it with him. I don't have to struggle with it. Now it's just I enjoy it. You can be driving down the road, Father, I'm so glad that you're my best friend. I'm so glad to be yours. We're in blood covenant together. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for this time of fellowship. And then away you go. You can have it anywhere, anytime. And in fact, you'll begin to realize you have it all the time and you can enjoy it anytime. But it's still going to be founded on these same best friendship principles. I'm acting like what he says is so. Jesus, you said, where any two of us are gathered together. I like what I heard Dr. Jesse Duplantis say one time. He said he was looking for someone to agree with, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I'll be your two. Boy, that hit me in the heart. It still does when I hear it. Jesus said, two are gathered together in my name. Why can't he be one of the two? There's no scripture that says he can't. So it's just you and him. Think about Paul on that ship. The Lord was with him. Think about Joseph. Blood covenant under Abraham's covenant. A naked slave put into absolutely dire straits. And it says he was prosperous because the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following according to Mark chapter 16. Listen, the Lord's with you. He wants to be with you. He is waiting and looking for you to be a best friend to you. Well, now when we decide to act on his word, get this now, we're being a best friend to him. We're showing ourselves strong on his behalf. Not proving it, rejoicing in the fact that we get to be a friend to him like he's been a friend to us. Now you understand, James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trials, and tests. The trial of your faith, that's I'm putting Peter with James, but it works. The trial of your patience being worked. Be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Peter saying the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold which perisheth. Think about that. Be happy. Receive his strength. Charge on through this and let God bring you out. You're getting an opportunity to be a friend to him. Can you see it? All right. This is enjoying best friendship with him. This is growing in it. Now you understand the whole reason behind this statement. The just shall live by faith. His best friends will live by trusting him. Can you see the whole thing? Jesus said, when you do these things that I say, when you act like they are true, if there's a command in it, think about this. What greater privilege could you and I have than to do an assignment from the head of our salvation. Our best friend and covenant brother. I get to do something for you? That's the best thing I've ever heard. Of course I'll do it. What if he says go to China? Oh, go to China. Oh, I don't want to. But what if it's your best friend telling you to go to China? Would you do this for me? For you? Yes. Can you see his prayer in the garden? Not my will. Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But, nevertheless, not what I want to do, I want to do what you want to do. That was sincere. I want to do what you want to do because you're my best friend. Think about it. He wants to do what you want. He is excited to be a best friend to you. Make sure I've said everything. Yeah, the just. Those who have been declared righteous, has been declared by heaven as his very best friends, live by acting like what he says is true. It is our heart to take what has been complex and hidden and frustrating and make it not only very simple and easy, but easy to be enjoyed. Does that make sense to everybody? We want you to enjoy this life in God. We're supposed to enjoy our righteousness. I can say it because it's the way it is for me. I want you to get to the place where you hear the word righteous and it's like you're triggered immediately. You just go, ooh, my favorite word. What do you want to talk about? My friend hadn't been born again very long, but he got born again hearing about blood covenant. So he came into this with not a lot of bad habits. He was being interviewed out in Hollywood by two celebrities. And they were asking him about some stuff, and they were wanting to work with him. And one of them said, I just have to know right away, do you believe in God? And he said, yeah, he's my best friend. What do you want to know? And they just went, we'll take that as a yes. He just checked it off. It puts confidence in you when you know he's your best friend. When you get to use your confidence to trust him and to act like what he says is true, whew, then it gets rewarding. It gives him an opportunity to be a best friend to you. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these things. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for the privilege of teaching us these things. We're so grateful for it. It's precious to us. Now let's act on these things together, both for practice sake and also that it leaves a mark in us, in our thinking. Let's all lift one hand to heaven, just out of honor, lifting up your hand, just like Abraham did to the Lord. It's an act of friendship. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, you have made me your very best friend. I have decided you are my very best friend. It's a privilege. I live by faith. I act like what you say is true. Because it's true, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Every part of my body is well, whole, and healed and restored. My soul is restored. I'm free from darkness. Any depression, PTS, trauma, soul issues of any kind, I'm free from it. I'm delivered from it. The power of God's working in my life. I am the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's made me his very best friend. I have fellowship with him. I have best friend time with him. I enjoy it all the time. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. God, you're the best friend I could ever have. And it's a privilege to be a best friend to you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, my Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.